Hey guys, welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be drawing strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is episode 1.1, God in the Day-to-Day, Anger. The Bible passage for this episode is a fairly short one. It's Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, and I'll read you from the English Standard Version. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. I'm going to start this episode by playing a clip from the film Thor Ragnarok. I realize that it's difficult to do a film clip justice in an audio-only medium such as a podcast. And if you haven't seen Ragnarok, which for my money is one of the best three Marvel movies out there, then this audio clip may be a bit confusing. Let me try to set it up for you. The two characters in the scene are Thor and Hulk, who are both members of the Avengers. When I was in high school and college, I collected Marvel comics, including a lot of issues of the Avengers. Thor and Hulk were two of my least favorite Marvel characters. Thor was a Norse god who dressed in a ridiculous costume and spoke in Elizabethan English. Hulk was the alter ego of scientist Bruce Banner. When Banner got angry, he became this huge, muscle-bound green guy who was always yelling short phrases like, "Hulk smash!" Not a terribly interesting hero. But in the films, both characters are much more relatable and likable. In Ragnarok, they both are frustrated with their situations, and their frustration leads to anger. Both are prisoners on a planet called Sakaar. Thor arrived there recently after watching his dad die and losing his primary weapon, his hammer, to an evil sister he never knew existed before. Hulk has been on this planet for a few years, fighting as a gladiator so regularly that he's pretty much forgotten his Bruce Banner personality. In this scene, Thor takes out his frustrations on Hulk, and Hulk responds by giving it right back to Thor. Then, Thor tries to reconcile with the only friend he has on this forsaken world.
Thor, sir.
Shut up.
Thor, sir.
I'm not sad, you idiot. I'm pissed off.
Oh.
Angry, I lost my father. I lost my hammer.
Oh. Why?
You're not even listening.
Stop, kick, stop.
You're being a really bad friend.
You bad friend.
You know what we call you? No. We call you the stupid Avenger.
You're a tiny Avenger.
What are you, crazy?
Yes.
You know what? Earth does hate you.
Sorry, I said those things. You're not the stupid Avenger, and nobody calls you the stupid Avenger.
It's okay.
Just can't go around throwing shields at people. Could have killed me.
I know, I'm sorry. I just get so angry all the time. Hulk always angry.
We're the same, you and I. We're just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
Kind of both like fire.
But Hulk like real fire. Hulk like raging fire. Thor like smoldering fire.
It's easy to laugh at Hulk here. On the one hand, he's complaining about how he's always angry. And he doesn't even realize that his anger is keeping him trapped in his Hulk persona. On the other hand, he's bragging about how Thor's anger is not nearly as fiery as his own. Hulk's anger is not all bad. In fact, it's the key that enables him to be a hero. In a later movie, Bruce Banner finds himself unable to turn into the Hulk, and that inability proves costly to many other people. Anger is not going to turn you into a superhuman, but it does have some potentially positive attributes. For example, it can give you strength and tenacity in the face of adversity. In fact, without anger, you'd be unable to defend yourself and your loved ones, fight for freedom and other things you value, and face down evil. Anger can be a fire that fuels positive, even heroic behavior. And Jesus got angry. The Gospels record him getting angry with the Pharisees several times, and of course, with the money changers in the temple. Here's how the Gospel of John records it. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Of course, the anger displayed by Jesus was justifiable. The same is true for my anger, sometimes. But my anger is not always justifiable or, in retrospect, justified. And unjustified anger can fuel dangerous and destructive behavior. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus implied that anger can be as bad as murder. Here's what he said. "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." That's from Matthew 5, 21 and 22. When Jesus said angry there, the implication was angry without cause. When I'm angry, then, before I act, I need to examine my anger and make sure that I have a real cause, even a righteous cause, to be angry. But even if I do, I still should strive to express my anger in a way that leads to reconciliation with the one who is offending me. Otherwise, I may alienate someone close to me, just as the Apostle Paul did. No one was closer to Paul than Barnabas. They first met shortly after Paul changed from a persecutor of Christians to a Christ follower. Other Christians, including the apostles, were afraid of Paul, not Barnabas. Even though he had never met Paul, Barnabas vouched for him. Years later, when Barnabas needed help in Antioch, he went to Tarsus and got Paul, who had been on his own there for a long time. After successful work in Antioch, the two men went on a long missionary journey together and became close friends. As they prepared for a second such journey, Barnabas suggested that they take his relative Mark. But Mark had deserted them on the first journey, and Paul was still miffed about it. How did Paul deal with his anger over Mark? He got into an argument with Barnabas. The argument got so heated that Paul decided to part ways with Barnabas, who was his closest friend. Paul never saw Barnabas again. Did Paul regret his angry parting with Barnabas? I think so. My hunch is that Paul's advice to the Ephesians, "Be angry and do not sin," came at least partly from Paul's experience with his own anger. The first part of Paul's statement is a recognition that we're going to get angry. It's almost a command. Be angry. When someone you love is being hurt, be angry. When you see injustice, be angry. When you encounter evil, be angry. But don't let your anger fuel an action that is sinful. That's our charge for this week, and frankly, for every week. Be angry and do not sin. Here's a prayer in that direction. God, Help me to control myself when my anger wants to control me. Remind me to check my motives and my pride so that I can work through justified anger in constructive ways and stop my selfish anger before I do something stupid. Amen. Next week, I'll talk about another meaty subject, conflict. I hope you'll join me for that. Consider picking up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men as a resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.